Well, we're thankful to be here tonight. It's been a precious service so far, and sure thank the Lord for giving that to us. Appreciate your prayers as we look into what the Lord has given us tonight. You know, we're now more than ever we realize how much we need Him. So let's look to the Lord just a moment. Dear Lord, you know how thankful we are for what you have already done here for us tonight, dear God. You've blessed our souls, you encouraged us, you strengthened us, Lord. And now, God, as we open up your word, we're asking that you, by your Spirit, would guide and direct in everything that is said and done, Lord, that it be what you desire it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have been thinking a little bit about not leaning. And so, you know, we talk about leaning on Jesus, and that's a good thing. Lean on Jesus. But there's another kind of leaning we do, and that's what the Lord has put on our heart tonight, that we take some time and let the Lord assess us. Open yourselves up before the Lord tonight. I desire to open myself up before the Lord tonight and let Him show me if and somehow I'm leaning in a direction that's not good for me, that's dangerous. You know, a lot of times leaning precipitates a fall. So that's the leaning that we have a burden to talk about tonight, and desire the Lord help us to make sure that that's not going on in our life. I'd like to turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And look at a verse here in the 10th chapter, 23rd verse. And I want to encourage you, this is the burden tonight from the Lord. Now, we've got some other verses, we've got some stories to share with you from the Bible, but this is the burden right here summed up in this verse. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Amen. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. If you look into what without wavering is, the Greek word that is pulled from, you'll actually find in the definition that it says not leaning. Yes. Not leaning. So tonight, the burden is that we would hold fast our profession of faith in the Lord and that we would not find ourselves leaning. And we want to talk about the leaning we're talking about, and with the help of the Lord, we'll share that. But that we would be steady and firm on both feet, right where the Lord would have us. Not trying to be there and, you know, well, I kind of got a foot there, but I'm leaning off somewhere. But we want to be solid right where the Lord would have us. I thought about, we played some basketball today, and tomorrow I'm probably going to be regretting that, but I sure enjoyed it today. And I got to thinking about playing basketball, and I think there's, you know, I've thought about it, and I may have missed something, but one of the most embarrassing moments, I think, in basketball is that if you're trying to guard somebody, and they catch you leaning, and they get you leaning a little bit one way, and they take off the other, and many times the result of that is you end up falling on the ground, and it's a very embarrassing thing to happen, but it happened because they caught you leaning in a certain direction and they went the other way, and when you tried to go with them, you couldn't do it, and there you went and you hit the ground. You know, that's not a place you want to be in when you're playing defense and basketball. And, you know, it's definitely not the place we want to be in with the Lord. I also thought about my mom was from Gina, Louisiana, and had a lot of family down there when I grew up, and we used to drive down there quite a bit. And there was a, as you're getting close to Gina, there's a little place, I believe it's called Trout. It might actually be more into Good Pine, but anyways, there's several little communities there as you get close to Gina. And I'm quite certain it was in Good Pine now as I think about it. But there was an old, I guess I'll call it a frame house. It was, I guess, two stories, I think it was. And now, y'all, I was a little boy. And parts of this story, I won't be too specific because, you know, you don't always remember things quite the way they were. But I'll tell you this about the house. It was a frame house, and it was leaning. We drive by, and you could tell, and you know, it'd be about like this. And then you come back in a few months, it'd be a little more, or maybe it'd be a year later. It was a while that house stood there. There's some here who could tell you more specifically about the story about the house and all. But I just remember seeing that, you know, from a little boy, seeing that, and I just standing out to me. And why I don't know why I cared so much about it, but I was like, that house is leaning. You know, it just keeps on going further and further. And you know, I believe, the way I remember right, I believe it fell. If it didn't fall, finally somebody pushed it over before it did. I don't know the whole story of the house. But as you went by, you knew, you could look at this house, and I was 5 years old, 6 years old. I knew that wasn't working out very well. I knew that wasn't a house that I wanted to be inside of. I didn't want to live in that house because at some point, the direction it's going, it's going to fall. And when it does, it's going to land on things and it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to damage some things. Something needed to be done. You know, if you're going to get in that house and live in that house, then somebody's got to get in there. And I don't even know if it's possible. But if so, they've got to get it straightened up before you can be in there and be safe. You know, tonight, if you're leaning, you need to get some things straightened up because you're not safe. And, you know, we can get an idea that you know, well, it's okay. I've still got my feet in where they're supposed to be, so to speak. But at some point, if you're leaning, you're going to fall.
That's right.
For whatever reason. Maybe it's just the position you couldn't hold anymore, like the house, and you finally went over. Or maybe somehow, because of the position you were in, when you went to play defense against your adversary, you weren't able to do it. And you fell. It's going to happen. Tonight, if you're leaning and you don't correct it, it's going to happen. You're going to fall. I want to look at a couple of stories in the Bible. In Jeremiah, the 41st chapter. Please pray for us. All right, here's a story in Jeremiah, and we're going to pick up towards the end of this particular story. This was the end of Judah, so to speak, for the, you know, when they finally, everybody vacated the land for 70 years. And anyways, this was kind of at the end of that. But this particular story, we're going to pick up in the end of it. But the story was that when Nebuchadnezzar established Gedaliah as king, as the ruler there, there was a man named Ishmael that decided he was going to do something about it for whatever reason. And he went and by deceit and all, he slayed Gedaliah. And he also, in the process of doing that, bad enough that this is who the Chaldeans have put in control, and you're slaying them, he also slayed some Chaldeans in the process of that. And took away some captives of the Jews, actually, took them with him. And there was a man named Johanan, and he saw what had happened, and he went out with some captains of the forces, and he chased after Ishmael, and he overcame him, and he recovered the people. Ishmael got away, but he recovered the people. And so we're going to pick up in this story where he's coming back. Now, understand what just happened. Johanan and the people with him did not kill Gedaliah, did not kill the Chaldeans, but one of their people did. And they're a little bit on edge about it. So they come back, and in the 16th verse here we're going to pick up, and it says, "Then took Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, all the remnant of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, from Mizpah, after that he had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, even mighty men of war, the women and the children and the eunuchs whom he had brought again from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt. Now, for just a moment, we want to remember that one thing the Lord had told them not to do in the process of time was not to look back to Egypt for their safety. All right? And so we want to understand that they were trying to figure out what to do themselves. And they were beginning to look to their own resources a little bit here. And so it says they got over there, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them. Because Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. So they were afraid, and they were leaning, and not on the Lord right here. I want you to get the picture. That's what this story is about, is somebody who, through fear, and now that may be what you're saying, but Lord, but there's so many what ifs, and I'm you know, it's not even really that I'm wanting to go back into sin or anything, but there's just these what ifs and these things I feel like I just need to pay attention to these things, and the Lord had said, pay attention to me, right? Yes. And so this is where they were. They were like, well, we know what the Lord said maybe, but we need to do something about this. We're in danger. And so then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and they all came and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. I want, with the help of the Lord, I want you to see. They're fixing to do some things that are right to try to handle the situation. But understand that it all started with them leaning. Yes. How would this story have been different if they went to Bethlehem, but then they said, you know what, guys? Wait a minute. This is, well, they went over by Bethlehem to go to Egypt. Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying there. And they stopped there and they said, wait a minute, the Lord told us not to do this. Let's go back. And let's just go back to Judah. And let's find out what the Lord wants. That's not what happened. They're still sitting there and they're leaning. And though they're seeking Jeremiah, that's what's going on. And so, I said, we'll beseech you that the Lord thy God may shew us the way wherein we may walk, the thing we may do. And then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you, and behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you, and I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not according to all things for which the Lord thy God has sent us. Will do. Our feet are where they need to be. But the whole time, and I see here, I don't see, it really doesn't seem like at this point that they're really intending maybe to try to deceive Jeremiah. They're really coming to him, but yet they're in a position where, and kind of pointed in a direction that God told them not to go. All right? So they say this, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not according to all the things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We'll do whatever the Lord wants us to. We will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of our God. We will do whatever he tells us to do. You know, to sit here and think that doesn't happen, and that maybe we not even be caught in places like that would not really be, it would just be not paying attention. There are moments in all of our lives where the Lord has to say, okay, but first, get up straight where I told you to be. You know, I'm going to answer your questions, but first, Stand back down where I told you to be. Stop leaning. Stop leaning towards things that I told you not to lean towards. Get up straight. You know, they were praying a prayer, and you may have prayed these prayers, or you may have seen people pray these prayers. I'm going to do whatever the Lord wants me to, and maybe there's even a sincerity of some kind there, but you see at the same time that they're praying these prayers, or that I'm praying these prayers, maybe God checks me and says, well, you know, you're praying with pretty hard here, but you're also leaning pretty hard as well. Why don't you stand back up where I told you to be first and then ask me what you want me to do? Do y'all see that? Do you understand how we can fool ourselves even sometimes? But Lord, help us. It's not complicated, and I don't want to present it that way. You just need to stand where God told you to stand and stop leaning. Don't lean. All right? So they said about it, and it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. And you know, just in my mind, 10 days, that's quite a while to be hanging out kind of to one side, pointed in a direction that you really not go. I wonder what all happened in that 10 days that would not have happened if they weren't where they were, if they had come back to Judah, come back right to the place they should have been. And just said, now, Lord, tell us what to do. I wonder how it would have been different. Do you not think that some things happened in this time and people said, you know, it's been 9 days and we're still waiting on them. Don't you know, Egypt's looking a little better every day. Maybe, you know, it's just right there. I mean, we're in that direction already. We could go ahead and kind of get ready and move. And you know what? As we read the story, you're going to see that's kind of what started happening. It's kind of what started happening. So, it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, and then he, Johanan, the son, and all the captains of the force, all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord God, God of Israel. Now, the Lord's just brought something to my mind right here that I want to share to you. Remember that verse right there, that 8th verse? We're going to read this other story, and you're going to see almost the same kind of setup. Everybody's here. We're all coming to hear what the Lord has. We don't have somebody off over there. We'll have somebody off over there. We're all in this place to hear. But there's one difference you're going to see in these two stories. And it involves the direction they were pointed already. Okay? So it says that, it said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before me, and I will insert, and you said you would do whatever he told you to do. You said it emphatically. He says, if you will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will shew you mercies unto you that he... And I will shew mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. If you were seeking the Lord and he came to you and he said this, what should our reaction be? That's good news. Thank God. That's about as good as you can hear it from the Lord. You can't hear it any better. Why would, if you came seeking him and this is what he said, you know, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. And, you know, I think that's what would have happened if they weren't already pointed in another direction, already looking at something else. But because they were, somehow something had worked into their heart that when God came to give them good news, what happened? I mean, what happened? They didn't receive it. Why? Not. I believe sincerely in this story, not because they didn't really want to hear it first, but because they had pointed themselves in a direction and they had leaned long enough that they got to a point where they weren't able to receive in the right way what God was saying to them. All right? And so he says, I will show you these mercies. Then he goes on, he said, but if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, but you've already taken care of that, right? You already said that you would obey it. Yeah, you did, but you were leaning, okay? But if you neither obey the voice of the Lord saying no, but we will go into the land of Egypt where we will see no war, nor hear the sound of trumpet, nor have hunger of bread. Oh man, the things they had managed to convince themselves of on those 10 days. The things they had managed to just somehow, I don't know if they talked about it or what happened, but because they weren't where they needed to be, when they set out to seek the Lord, they set out to seek Him, they set out to do all these things, but they weren't pointed in the right direction. They weren't simply waiting on the Lord. Well, in those 10 days, some things happened. And they began to have this idea that, you know, I think probably it's going to be better for us down there. We'll see what the Lord has to say. That's the effect of leaning. You don't think it affects you, but it does. Because then when the Lord comes to convict you, it's going to touch those things. You know what you're leaning towards? You know, the Lord, He's right here. You lean away in any direction, and you're leaning towards things of this world. And you know what the message of the Lord does? It cuts away the things of the world. So He's going to come on to start cutting, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm kind of leaning on that thing over here. Lord, help me. We don't realize what's going on when we're playing around with the world. Playing around with things that God said, don't do that. Don't mess with that. Don't let your affections go to that. Oh, but it's not innocent. It may not be sin, but it's not innocent. If it's not where the Lord told you to stay. The Lord is not handicapped to not be able to reveal things to you that affect your life unless they are out and out sin. There's no handcuffs on the Lord. He's not up there saying, well, I'd like to tell him that this thing's going to cause him problems, but I can't because it's not out and out sin. The Lord will show you everything in this life that you need to be careful not to lean on. He will show you how to stand right there where you need to be. But you're going to have to listen to him. The devil will try to tell you, well, you're being too, don't listen to that. Oh, you're getting too wrapped up in this whole thing. Let me ask you a question tonight. I don't know how to put it, but I'm going to put it this way. You tell me, what's more important than your soul? What you got going on, I'm sorry, I came out. What do you have going on in your life that's so much more important than your soul? I mean, your career? Really? How do you think that's going to work out? How do you think it's going to work out when you come to the end and everything's swept away? And all of a sudden you fall because you were leaning on something. Right. What's more important? Your passion? The thing that your hobby, your thing that you just, yeah, oh man, I just love this thing. Okay, try it out. No, don't. But you understand what I'm saying? Lean on it. It's going to fall, and you're going to fall with it. Stand up. Don't put your weight on things of this world. God's going to bring things into your life. Don't put your weight on them. Put your weight on the Lord. Stand on the rock. So it says, he goes on here, and you know, it's quite a passage here. And if you read through it, I want to read it, but maybe in the interest of time, we won't. But you pass on down through this 42nd chapter, and you're going to see it just gets, Jeremiah's like, look, guys, I came here and I just told you a simple message. And then he kind of says, hey, guys, hold on here a minute. The Lord's showing me that you're leaning a little bit. You need to pull back from that. And it gets down to the end and it says, the Lord hath said concerning you, 19th verse, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. No, certainly I have admonished you this day, for ye dissembled in your hearts. You had something there, you were coming to the right place, but it wasn't solid. You weren't standing strictly in the Lord. You weren't standing strictly in the rock. You were leaning on something of this world. You were dissembled in your hearts. when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place where ye desire to go and to sojourn. How did we go from be not afraid, I am with you to save you and deliver you, to you're going to die by the sword and by famine? It's because they were leaning on something. They weren't just standing on the rock. And this is where it ends up. Tonight, if I'm leaning on this world, if I'm not just standing on the rock, and what I mean by that, to be very clear, my passion is about the Lord. Brother Danny preached it this morning. I'm not just trying to bring some things of the Lord along in my life, but it is my focus. Amen. It is my passion. It's what means the most. Whatever I do in life, I'm going to do because the Lord led me to that thing. Yes. Not because I kind of stood on the rock and kind of held on it. You know, those things will hold together for a little bit, but at some point, you're going to fall. At some point, you're going to go from, I will keep you, to, you're going to die by famine.
That's right.
You're going to fall. That's what's going to happen. So stand up. Stand up. Get your weight off things of this world and put it solely on the Lord and let Him bring what He will bring into your life. All right? Well, I told you there was two stories. I want to turn over here and, by the way, this prophecy came true. You can look into that later and see. But this prophecy came true that Jeremiah said. But let's look over in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. All right. Now, we have somebody in a very similar situation. All right. 2 Chronicles. I'm like Brother Carl. I got to get in the right book here. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that back up, but you did say it last night. So, 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. And we got another story here. We got a group of people that are in a rough situation, in a fearful situation. And let's see what happens with them. So it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now I want you to, if you do some back reading on the story of Jehoshaphat, he was a great king. He was one of the great kings of Judah. He was one who sought the Lord throughout his kingship. Now he made some mistakes, but he followed the Lord. And he had just, in fact, right before this, he had been admonished by a prophet about something he had done. He had gone down and he had kind of joined forces with Ahab. And the prophet said, you shouldn't have done that. All right. You know, he left that moment and he only got more intent on teaching the people about the Lord and directing them to serve the Lord. He had a humble heart. As mighty as he was, he had a humble heart. And so he had done all these things, and it goes through all that, and it came to this point that the children of Moab, children of Ammon, and with the mother, the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And if you can't see it, I'm going to tell you, as we read this story, you're going to see that Jehoshaphat isn't leaning in one direction or the other. He is standing before the Lord to see what the Lord will tell him to do. There's nothing else he's looking at, nowhere else options he has. And you're going to see that come out in this story. This is what it means to stand up straight in the Lord. Stand on the rock. Okay.
Amen.
All right. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Again, we see all the people, Not somebody over here or there. We're all here together to see what the Lord would say. All right? And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out all the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to thy seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. There's such a power in this statement. I hope that you will get a hold of this tonight. Our eyes are on thee. He wasn't looking to Egypt. He wasn't looking over here to some other option or someplace. We've all come here, Lord, to stand before you and to see what you will tell us to do. Our eyes are upon thee. This is what we're talking about. Where are your eyes tonight? Now be honest and Lord help us to have discernment right here to understand what we're saying. Where are your eyes tonight? Are they solely on the Lord? If they are not, then you are leaning. If they are on something in this world, you are leaning. And you know there's so many ways that this could go. Is there something, some temptation that you're just not willing to quite put out of your life the way the Lord showed you? Or is there something you're counting on for stability in your life? You know, that's even more because, you know, the sin we see, we're like, I know I shouldn't be messing with this. But sometimes the things we look to keep us in this life, we don't realize the effect they're having on our ability to do what God is telling us we need to do. For the sake of our soul. Sometimes we think, well, it's the work of the Lord, and if I just don't have time for it right now, I don't have time for it. You know what the Lord's doing? The reason for the work of the Lord is for our souls. That is the work of the Lord. And if He's telling you there's something you need to do, and you can't do it because there's something that you're leaning on for stability in this life besides the Lord, and your eyes are not fully on Him, somehow they're on something of this world. You're leaning. Get your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Now He may have brought that thing in your life. Don't start leaning on it. You know, that's the message tonight. It's not get off it and see if the Lord leaves it there. It might be that He brought it in your life and He's wanting there, but He's like, that ain't going to work out. Get off that thing. Get your eyes off that thing. Stop thinking that's what's helping you be safe in life or whatever you need. Get your eyes on the Lord and what He wants.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, help me. The Lord, sometimes you're preaching things and God just makes things come up in your mind and like, yeah, okay, this is for me too, Lord. God just did that to me in a moment there. We all need to hear this.
Yes.
Lord, help us. Get your hand off that thing. You know what? He might just be trying to warn you, and He needed to move it a long time ago, and you've been leaning, and the Lord's not willing that any should perish. And He doesn't like to see us fall, and He's just having mercy and trying to get you to take your hand off before He's like, you know what? There it is. And you go down. You know, without the mercy of the Lord, you may be in a situation where you already would have fallen. Well, we all are to some degree, but this particular issue that we're talking about, if it wasn't for the mercy of the Lord, it might be that thing already needed to be out of your life, but you're leaning so hard on the Lord, it's like, you got to get your weight off this thing. I need to get it out of your life. I need to make a change. Lord, help us. You don't have to figure all that out. Just get your hands off it. Just get your eyes on the Lord. and let Him decide what needs to happen in your life. And James said it in one place in his writing. He said, go to ye now who say, we will do this and this and this and this. Don't do it that way. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. We take that too lightly sometimes. We're like, oh, yeah, that's a good. Oh, yeah, I should say, if the Lord will, I'll go and do this thing. James is saying, get your hands off it. Your soul depends on it. The welfare of your soul depends on you getting your hands off things of this world and looking to the Lord and saying, if the Lord will, then I'll do this. We said it before, and I kind of said it this way. Sometimes we say that as we run off in the direction we're wanting to go. Well, if the Lord wills, everything will work out okay. I mean, in effect, you're running out on a tight line and just kind of seeing if you're going to fall or not. Well, if I make it to the other side, it was the Lord's will. Probably not when He had an airplane right there for you to take you to the other side. Probably not. The mercy of the Lord, you made it. At some point, those things end up the way they end up. You've got to start saying, Lord, what is your will in my life? That's what that verse means. Stand before the Lord, like Jehoshaphat did here, and say, Lord, we have no power to do what needs to be done here. What are you going to do with us? Show us. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Eyes on the Lord. You want to see how that worked out? It worked out pretty good. It really did. It worked out like it would have worked out for the other people in the other story we had if they hadn't been leaning. All right? The way that at first God said it was going to work out, remember? Look at what happened here. It says, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of all those names in there. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and now King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed. Wow, the same message that others got right at the start. All right. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by this cliff, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jericho. All right, okay, so let's go. God said to go to battle. Oh, hold on. Guess what? You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still. And see the salvation of the Lord with you. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head on face on the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping him. And they all stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness where God told them to go. And Jehoshaphat looked at him and said, hear ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. And he sent out the ones to praise before them, and they sang, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Oh Lord, help us. There's so many thoughts here, but get your hand off that thing. It ain't going to hold you up better than the Lord can hold you up. The world's not going to hold you up the way the Lord can hold you up. This was innumerable odds against them. Doesn't matter. They stood before the Lord and they put their eyes on Him. And they didn't even have to fight. They walked up there and, well, there was definitely an army here. But it looks like they're taken care of. Let's go get the goods. Let's go get the blessing that's here for us.
Amen.
That's how the Lord wants to work in our lives. But we've got to stop leaning. We've got to stand before the Lord with our eyes on Him and say, Lord, what is your will? What do you want out of this situation? What do you want out of my life? What do you want out of this day? Lord, please, have your way. You know, this part here, reading this story, makes me think of another story in the Bible where they came across the Red Sea. And they looked back and they saw, what did they see? Y'all remember what they saw? Another mighty force, the Egyptians, all dead by the edge of the water. What, have you ever heard of anything in the world taking a huge body of water and just moving it apart in a moment with no walls? No walls. It just moved apart and the ground was dry and they walked across and suddenly it was wet again. And the army that was trying to destroy them got stuck and the waters crashed down on them. And the wheels came off. And it was all over. The enemy that was so mighty that they were so helpless before floated to the side of the waters there. And they saw him on the shore. They saw the Egyptians dead on the shore. Now what is it in this world that's going to do that for you? But yet we see so many times we're like, but I've got to lean on this too. I want to lean on the Lord, but I've got to lean on this too. Or I've got to lean on this as well. I need to have this thing. I need to have this social interaction. Or I need to have this activity. Or I need to have this career. Or I need to have this promotion. Or I need to have this thing going on in my life. Or we need to invite this thing into our house. Or we need to have this thing present. Or we need to be involved in this activity. Really? Or else we're just going to be too different. Or we're not going to be able to get along in this world. Really? You know, I think us in a paper sack, I mean, God can put food in it for you.
Yes.
It's pretty much all you need. God will do, has done from the beginning of time, has done whatever needed to be done for His people.
That's right.
I got a news flash for you. He hasn't changed. He's no different. It's just still today. It's just as much down to your faith. Are you willing to put it in the Lord? Are you going to lean on this world? You don't have to fall. Thank the Lord. You know that those children of Israel, how many times they kept looking back, looking back, looking back. You know what they ended up missing? The land of Canaan. They had to go wander around in the wilderness. What are you missing today because you're leaning? You're looking back. Stop looking. Get up straight. Look at the Lord. See what He wants out of your life. You know, there's a verse in Jeremiah, the 14th chapter. We'll read in closing here. Jeremiah 14 and 22, last verse of this chapter. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou He, O Lord our God? Are you not the one, Lord? Is He not? Is He not the one who does all things? And does all things well? Is He not the one that never forsakes those that put their trust in Him? Well, He did that time. Really? Really? No, He didn't. I promise you He didn't. Let the Lord show you how He didn't. He didn't fail you. And He didn't forsake you. And He's not going to do it. Isn't that who we serve? Yes. That's who God is. You're struggling tonight with your faith. Something's happened in your life. And you just feel like you can't hardly just put your eyes on Jesus. There's just something that you just can't take your hand off in life. And maybe it's because of things that have happened. And in your mind, somehow God's failed you. I promise you. I promise you on the authority of the Word of God and the authority of the experience of His saints, of His people, that He has not failed you. And if you will stand up straight and get your eyes on Him, He will show you how he has not failed you.
Yes.
It may take a little time, but he'll let you know. Put your trust in him. Get your eyes on him. It said, "Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all things."
Yes.
Lord bless us. Stand up straight. Stand on the Lord. Trust him. Stop leaning. Get your hands off things of this world. And let the Lord show you how he will never forsake you and he will never fail you.